Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 23. On this week's show, we have an interview with the incredibly talented artist Karen Hallion. Now, you probably know Karen from her work if you've either seen it on the internet, at comic conventions, the Disney parks itself. She is the one who's behind the art where you get the mashup of like the Disney princess and the Doctor Who TARDIS. That's her. So you'll actually get to hear from the woman behind all of that art. We were lucky enough to meet Karen at this year's New York Comic Con. And we, you know, we asked her like, hey, you know, we have this podcast. Would you be interested in coming on? We really did not think that she would say yes, but she was incredibly gracious, really, really sweet and super cool. And talked with us for almost an hour, which we didn't even start till almost 10 o'clock at night because, you know, she's incredibly busy. She is a mom, but absolute trooper. I had a lot of fun doing this. Mel had a lot of fun doing this. I hope that she had fun doing it too. I hope she did. So, and I really hope you guys will dig it too. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of links and stuff on the show notes page to find more of Karen's artwork, her Etsy store, the card game that she was working on, all that kind of stuff. It's all going to be in the show notes page. But for now, take a listen, check it out, Karen Hallion. But first, some Pogo. Hey, Karen, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm Pete, and
I'm Melissa.
Hi.
I don't know if you remember us from the con. God knows you had so many people coming around minute after minute.
From New York, right?
Yep. Yeah, that was us. So thank you so much for doing this with us. We're really, really like excited to just talk with you and everything. And I know you got a crazy schedule, so... what was going on? You were doing something with Kickstarter recently?
I am part of a team that just put together a card game. It was Hank Green. I don't know if you know who that is. That's he's an internet YouTube guy. His brother John Green wrote The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns.
Okay.
Those movies that just came out. And so he wanted to do a Kickstarter for a card game, like a tabletop game about an American wizard high school.
And okay.
So I'm doing all the art for it.
Oh, that sounds really cool. We love card games and stuff, so that's really sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fun. It's about a third of the way. The art was about a third of the way done when we did the Kickstarter, and we were hoping to get $15,000 to be able to produce it, and we got $466.
Oh, wow. Congrats. Oh,
God.
Yeah. So now I got to finish it.
Wow, that's awesome, though.
Which is going to be definitely tight.
What do you have like as an aimed hopeful date for that to finally come around?
It's supposed to ship in June, so that means I have to get all of the art done by January 30th. Is what they said. And there's about 200 pieces of art that I have to do, and I've done probably about 35 of them.
Oh my God. That's a really quick turnaround though. From how long ago did the Kickstarter end up? A week ago, so?
Last week. Yeah, it ended last week.
Wow. Okay. So is that pretty much going to be like January, your entire, you know, December and January?
Yeah, pretty much. Right now I'm working on a project for Her Universe. Do you know that?
Yeah, Ashley Eckstein.
Yes. So they asked me to do something. And so I'm trying to squeeze that in before I really am just doing wizard school all the time.
Wait, so what are you doing with Ashley X? Can you say that? I mean,
I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
Okay.
I can say I did something for her that debuted at San Diego Comic-Con. It was a Spirited Away kimono. It's like kind of on a silk material, and she not silk, it's more like sheer, and she was wearing it when she went to Japan, so there's a few pictures of her wearing it.
I think I see that
it's something along that line, another thing for that, but that's pretty much all I can say.
Oh, that sounds really cool. Yeah, we saw Ashley Eckstein at Star Wars Weekend last year. She was wearing one of her dresses, and I think I've seen that picture of the Spirit Away kimono. It's really nice looking. I like
that. Yeah, I really don't have time to do this, but anytime they ask me to work with them, I make time. So
yeah, they're good people.
Yeah, they're really, really great. And I love what their company kind of stands for. And I mean, I've met her once or twice and she's so nice.
She puts out a lot of stuff too. I mean, that's a line that is constantly coming out with stuff, it seems like.
Yeah, it is. And I've been working on this kind of stuff, but I'm really hoping to start doing some of the Star Wars. And when I saw her at Star Wars Celebration, she said that she had some Doctor Who stuff for me to do, which I was really excited about. So okay. Anything can work with them. That's kind of cool.
All right. So you know what? That's really kind of where we wanted to start was, I mean, you've been doing, how long have you been working as an artist?
Well, I mean, I graduated from art school in 97, and then I tried to freelance for about 2 or 3 years, and I failed miserably. And so then I got a job as an art teacher at an elementary school, and I did that for 6 years, 6 or 7 years. And then I lost my job in 2009. So I've been freelancing since 2009, 2010. I'd say.
Wow.
So it's tough because, I mean, I've been doing art for a long time, but I've been doing what I'm doing right now probably for about, it'll be 5 years in January, I think, officially.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And where did, I mean, you're very well known, at least, okay, we do a Disney show, and we first learned of you, honestly, from just explosion of seeing your t-shirts all over. I mean, like, no joke, from 1 year to the next, I remember we were in Epcot, and every corner we turned, it was a different Doctor Who Disney mashup shirt. And we were like, wow, these got really popular ultra quick. And we knew of them, but it's always weird when you see something and you're like, oh, that's so cool. But then you go somewhere and you're like, oh, wait, there's like 40 people in a park, which, you know, for anyone to be wearing this, you know, one particular design that isn't just straight, you know, made straight by up. Disney was crazy. So, I mean, when did that explosion happen for you?
I think it was my first design in that series was a Cinderella one. And I want to say that was 2011 is a guess, I think, 2011, 2012. And it wasn't going to be a series. It was just going to be that design. I had just started watching Doctor Who. I was a few seasons in, but I've been a lifelong Disney fan for forever. I wanted to be a Disney animator. I know the Disney movies back and forth. I consider Walt Disney World to be my second home. I don't know. I was kind of thinking about Cinderella and about how she kind of gets a bad rap because people think of her as kind of only wanting to get the guy, but she really wanted to go to the ball. I mean, it wasn't about falling in love. It was about going and having an adventure at the ball, but then she kind of goes home and doesn't do anything. And so I was like, what if, you know, her life took a little bit of a turn and she went on another adventure, and it exploded on the internet. It was crazy. I'd never experienced anything like that, really.
Well, yeah, you hit the two like main markets, you know, between.
I didn't know. I kind of just liked the idea that it was taking two stories and merging them together and telling a new story.
Yeah.
And so then I think Ariel was next because Ariel was my favorite. And when I saw The Little Mermaid, that was kind of what made me decide to be an artist. And I was like, well, that would be really fun. Of course, everybody always focuses on, well, the TARDIS, how would the TARDIS open the door underwater? It's like, well, the TARDIS opens the door in space, so I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I could figure that out.
You're like, wait a minute, I'm sorry, we're trying to figure out the logistics between a TARDIS now?
Mermaid. Like, and then it was Belle. The next one was Belle, which was kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, that one saw a lot.
And that one went even further than Cinderella, and then it just kept going. People kept asking me to do more and more, which I had a lot of fun doing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's probably where it started, though. Those three within about 6 months.
Wow. And so, okay. So was there a great moment where you were like, oh, wait, I can now switch and this can be the thing that I do?
Well,
like, you know
what?
After working so hard at all the other stuff, you know.
Yeah. It was, I had given myself, I mean, I had lost that teaching job. And when you, it was, I love that job. It was a career. It wasn't just like a job. It was a career. And it's hard to go back to waitressing after you've had a job that you love.
Right.
And so I was like, I'll give myself, I just had another baby. So that was, you know, my son James was born in October 2010. So I gave myself 6 months to be able to match what I had been making teaching, or I was going to have to get a job. And it was kind of sink or swim, I think. But okay. it ended up really working out. Shockingly, knock on wood, because I still, you know.
Yeah, I don't see any signs of this ever slowing. I would, if I had to take a guess, I would say that the two most popular designs that I've seen would be the Belle one and Alice.
Yeah, Alice, that was a fun one to do, because falling down, you know, from the movie, when she falls down that rabbit hole, there's all those shelves. And mm-hmm. anytime I can have an opportunity to hide Easter eggs and hide things. And that just gave me the opportunity to just put all sorts of little Doctor Who and Disney references all over the place in that one.
Yeah, that one's definitely my favorite because of all those little Easter eggs. Like, it's not just even from one particular doctor. You go the whole, you know, range from the scarf to the crack in the wall. Like, it was just, I loved looking at that picture and finding all the other little things that I missed the first time around. So I love that design so much.
Yeah, I think that's so fun. I mean, that's why I don't like to really draw from fandoms or movies or TV shows that I don't love myself, because I think you can tell. Like, I really like to do ones that I know so that I can try to add those little subtle, like I said, Easter eggs, I think, because I like to see those in art.
Yeah, exactly.
The Belle one, I was so excited. My friend Brian worked at DreamWorks. And so Gary Trousdale, the director of Beauty and the Beast, works at DreamWorks. And he showed him that Belle when it got really popular. And then maybe 6 months later, a year later, I won a contest for How to Train Your Dragon, and I got to go to DreamWorks Studios and tour and visit and everything. And Gary was there, and he came specifically to see me wearing that shirt.
Oh, wow.
I just about died. It was incredible. So that one that's in my top five favorites because of that.
And actually, you know what, you sort of answered a question of mine, but to just go a little further into it, you know, I'm looking through your DeviantArt page, which I'm going to put links up to all, you know, your Deviant. I mean, there's so many.
A lot of old stuff on there.
Yeah, but you cover such a gamut, you know, from Firefly to Bioshock to, you know, to Disney to Star Wars. It, you know, does that fall in line with what you're saying? I mean, this, it's just stuff that you want to do. Like, that's what you stick with?
Oh, yeah. Everything on there I've either watched or played, as in Bioshock, though that one got me a little queasy. I couldn't play that one as much as I wanted to.
wait till it's in virtual reality.
Yeah.
They're going to make a VR version of that thing, and I'm going to play it and then have a heart attack, probably.
I'm like old school with ColecoVision and Nintendo 64 and everything. So, I mean, I used to play 007, GoldenEye 007 all the time. Now the games are so realistic that they make me a little nauseous. But yeah, Firefly, Buffy, all of that is stuff that I love. So definitely, I don't think there's anything on there that I haven't at least watched or watched 100 times.
actually, I know that when we saw you at the New York Comic Con, you were doing one of the little, I guess you would call it a postcard drawing of Totoro.
Sketch cards, yeah.
Yeah, the little sketch card of Totoro. So, I mean, Ghibli, that's obviously a big sweet spot for you as well.
Yeah, I love Ghibli. Totoro is so fun to draw too, because you can just have him doing anything and he looks funny and cute. So I tend to have him with a cupcake on his head or holding a cup of coffee or wrapping a scarf. But yeah, I recently watched Kiki, which I really loved.
Yeah.
I think I've seen almost all of them.
You know, there's one that I always forget. Oh, I know what it is. The Cat Returns.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's a sequel to Whispers of the Heart.
Oh.
Is that
yeah, Whispers of the Heart, which, you know, it's one of the odder Ghibli films, because it's not, even though there is an element of fantasy when you deal with the character of the cat, most of it is not. You know, it's sort of like From Up on Poppy Hill or The Wind Rises, where a lot of it's kind of just a story. You know, it's just a story that isn't really filled with fantasy elements.
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. Whenever you get that out of Miyazaki and anyone who's over at Ghibli, it always, I feel like, takes a second for your brain to shift out of what you expect to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is, you know, Totoro, something, you know, no face showing up, and Sen, you know, you have like a certain thing in your head. So it always takes me a moment to kind of go like, oh, wait, no, change what you're expecting. And here we go. So actually, I had a question. Comic books. I mean, have you ever considered doing, or have you, you know, and I'm just unaware, have you ever animated, you know, a comic book?
No, you know, I've done a cover. Titan, the people who do the Doctor Who comic books, they approached me last summer to do a cover for them, which was really, really fun. And it was unfortunate. It was like right in the middle of when I was moving, so my whole studio was in pieces. But I was like, yes, I will absolutely figure out a way to do this on this short deadline. I'm not going to turn that down. But I would love to do more comic book covers. I'm not really sure I can do more of the sequential art. That's not really in my wheelhouse, but I would love to do more comic book covers. I think that's kind of fun.
Is any particular, you know, like, let's say you had your cherry pick. You could cherry pick anything from Image Comics to Marvel.
The new Princess Leia one.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely. I love how they're drawing her. I think it takes place between episode 4, 5, maybe.
It's between 4 and 5, between New Hope and Empire.
Yeah, I love, and is it Terry Dodson? I think I met him and kind of gushed at a comic book convention recently. But it's him and his wife, I think, that do that. And I just love how they drew her. I love his style. I have some of his art hanging in my studio, actually. So that would be definitely top one that I'd love to do.
Yeah, those books have been one of the nicest surprises, you know, of the whole year, in my opinion, when it comes to, you know, comic books, because you knew that, you know, there was going to be some capitalization and, you know, let's try to get some more Star Wars stuff out there, especially because, you know, the old stuff was kind of, you know, put to the side and whatnot. But man, the comics that they put out, they're good. They're not, you know, they're not like, they're okay. They're really, really good.
Yeah. I think that would be definitely, I mean, I love Spider-Gwen and, Batgirl. I love how I think it's Babs Tarr has redesigned Batgirl's whole outfit and everything. I think it's fantastic. I just don't know them as well, those comics, as well as I know Leia.
Yeah, your Spider-Gwen piece on Deviant was gorgeous.
Oh, thanks. I need to know more about her. Like, I've read some of them, but her design is just so fun to draw.
Yeah, no, so you've definitely got an eye for that one, actually. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact. And that's become, you know, there's an awesome, you know, everyone's kind of talking about it, but there's an awesome movement of women becoming more prominent in comic books and TV shows, getting more of the spotlight in a usually crowded male scene.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's nice to see. It's nice to see the crowd come along with it. There's not, I mean, yeah, there's that idiotic gamer gate that went on and stuff like that, but there's not been like pushback from fans. The fans have been wanting that and no one ever gave it to them.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot more women are getting in, like, they've always been involved in pop culture, but now there's a lot more for us too, which is great. I mean, that's always, I remember when I first started doing this, some of the t-shirt sites that I would subwork to, or things I would get feedback from art directors that were like, you know, this is a little too feminine. I don't know if people are going to want to buy this. Can you make it a little bit more appealing to men? And I was always like, no, there are more artists out there that do what you're asking. Go ask one of them, but this is what I'm going to do. And I think that, I don't know. I think that women are definitely becoming much more vocal in the pop culture community, which I love.
Yeah, no, it's definitely true. And, you know, I'm glad that you stuck to your guns, because, I mean, I remember walking around Disney and seeing a man in the Belle shirt and thinking, like, A, that was perfect design, and B, like, good for him for, you know, wearing that, you know? And I think it's like, you know, like you said, people aren't shying away. You want, you know, to wear what you want to wear. You want to do what you want to do. And people are more accepting of that. So it's really cool.
Yeah, there's one man, and I wish I could remember his name, because he's such a great guy. Is he... buys every new Disney Doctor Who shirt that I put out, and then makes it a point to go to the parks and take a picture with whatever character is on the shirt.
Oh, that's
cool. Put together an entire photo album of that.
Oh, that's really, really so cool. Great.
But I've had people who send me messages and be like, could you maybe do one of the princes or do one of the boys because I want to buy one for my son? I was like, I have plenty that you can buy for your son. My son's one of my son's favorite ones is Merida. So
yeah, you got two of hers. I love her with the climbing up the rock wall. That one's always great.
That was the one I did, but it was it's tough because sometimes people have so come to accept designs as shirts. Every once in a while I'll get an idea for an illustration, but it won't necessarily work as a shirt because you can't really just put the art on a shirt. I like it to be able to design. It's hard to explain, like not have those rectangular borders. I like it to be able to work on the shirt.
Okay.
So when I did that Merida climbing the cliff, I was like, well, I just won't do a shirt for this. And everybody was like, no, you have to have a Merida shirt. So then I did another one that worked better as a shirt.
Yeah, with the sprites.
With the sprites, yeah. And how there's not really a border to that. It just kind of fades off into the shirt.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even notice that until you said it, how all the shirts do have that stylistic flow to it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I remember when I first started designing t-shirts, that was people would say is you don't want to just slap a rectangle onto a t-shirt, you know, unless it works well with the, you want to think about the borders. And I think it was that one, and it was the Sleeping Beauty one that I did with her dancing in the forest.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to do that. And I was like, this is not going to work as a shirt, but I'm going to try to do it anyway.
Well, it definitely works because I bought it. That was one of my favorite ones. I mean, Aurora is my favorite. And then you put her with the doctor and I was done. So
yeah, I don't usually like to show which doctor if I can help it, but I couldn't. I had to do that one. And it took me 6 months to convert the illustration, the full color illustration into a shirt because figuring out all those little borders and everything was tough. And that illustration probably took me the longest out of any of them. It probably took me like, I want to say 45, 50 hours. Maybe.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of trees.
Yeah, it's very detailed.
Well, the background for that movie is almost a character in itself. So I wanted to really show that, the style of trees.
Yeah.
And I'm blanking on the artist's name. I know it's kind of begins with an E. For the background artist for Sleeping Beauty, but
oh my god, I know that answer too because it just came up.
Like roll or something.
You know what? I will look it up. I know Mel, you were just about to say something. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh no, I was just going to ask Karen because you just said you didn't really want to showcase one particular doctor, but I wanted to ask, like, do you have a particular doctor that you are? It's kind of your doctor.
I'd say Tennant is my doctor, but only by like a marginal amount. I love Eccleston. I love Smith. I'm a season behind for Capaldi, but I had really liked him a lot and I've heard that he's doing a really good job this season.
Yeah, this season he got really good, and yeah, Eccleston's mine, so I'm glad like you have some love for him too.
My sister is his favorite is Eccleston, but she has only gotten a part way through Tennant, but I think that it's gonna always stay with I love it. I wish he'd gotten another season. I know why he didn't, but
yeah.
I think he really would have been great. I mean, he was great, but Tennant, I just feel like Tennant is actually the doctor pretending to be Tennant, pretending to be the doctor. Like, I think he's just like, he might actually be the doctor. So good. That you know what? It was the episode with Madame de Pompadour that really did it for me. I love that episode.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
See, I think, you know, actually, you know, to go towards what we were saying before, you know, like the way that women are really a massive driving force now behind a lot of this. I didn't watch Doctor Who until Melissa started watching Doctor Who. You know, that was the reason I started watching it. It really wasn't on my radar. And I don't even know how did it pop up on your radar, as a matter of fact?
It was some of the girls at work. They were just talking about it it. And I was like, all right, let me give it a whirl. And I just fell in love instantly. And I think I binged on that show for weekends.
Yeah, no, I remember that. Just so you know, Karen, Ivind Earle.
Oh, yeah. See, I knew it was something I was going to really mangle the pronunciation for.
Yeah, I might be mangling the pronunciation, as a matter of fact. I, you know, putting up a flare on that one.
I just know that that art was so gorgeous, and it was very stylistically beautiful. And a lot of people, when I did that shirt, were like, why are you making the trees all square? I was like, go back and watch the movie.
Yeah, that's a very specific look, and it makes Sleeping Beauty stick out on its own when, you know, put up against almost any other Disney film. The background art in that film in particular is really, really stand out. I think Capaldi is my guy, though. As of right now, like, Capaldi is my guy because I was a fan of his before he was the Doctor. Yeah. I had seen him in The Loop, and it's just for anyone listening, this, I know it's like a, you know, it's a clean show, but that film, no, that film is not clean. Uh-huh. You want to see the Doctor throw some F-bombs around? You watch 3 minutes of that.
I forgot about him when he got the gig.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he better clean up his language for the
I'm sorry, I've totally lost my train.
Oh no, I was just going to say, even with Capaldi, I think it's funny how he's allowed to keep his Scottish accent, but Tennant wasn't.
I never really thought about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
Was he not allowed, or did Tennant just choose that?
I'm not sure exactly if Tennant was allowed or chose not to or whatever, but either way, he chose or whatever. Yeah. He didn't have a Scottish one, and Capaldi was just like, nope, I'm going to do it.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Funny.
So actually, are there any, well, I mean, I know you don't really want to talk about stuff if you haven't done it, or, you know, if you're in pre-planning, are there any combos outside, you know, that you haven't done yet that you're kind of itching at, you know, Disney, Doctor Who, or even some other combo?
Well, I've always had Megara from Hercules on my list. I'm having a hard time figuring out, I don't like to, like, for example, Tiana from Princess and the Frog was one of the ones I wanted to do right away because she's one of my favorite characters. She's so strong. But at the same time, she's so focused on her goal. I had a hard time figuring out how to do it because I think she would be like, I'm not going anywhere with you. I've got stuff to do.
I have to run this restaurant.
So she ended up being further down the line because just I had to figure out a good angle for her. And that's been the same with Megara, is because I love her. I'm just trying to figure out how to make it work with her character. And I've got a few ideas, but now I'm trying to figure out how to make it work in terms of a design. And Jane from Tarzan, because I love her too. Yeah, and then villains too.
I'm sorry, what was that last one?
Villains. Some of the villains. Maleficent and the Dragon.
Yes, I love that one.
And for the villains, I'm going to show who the Doctor is because I want it to be a little bit more, more of an active design, I guess. But and then this other design, which is a little different, but I had this thought maybe like a year ago when I was at Disney World, was it would be fun to illustrate the Doctor and his companion in different spots around the parks.
Oh, see, I will literally buy every single one of those.
I had this image of Ten and Rose eating Dole Whips.
Oh my and gosh.
I was like, I just could do a ton of them just around. And I have an idea. I'm looking at my idea board right now. I have like a whiteboard, and there's just about 50 different ideas of designs up there that sit there until I have a chance to get to them. And that one's been up there for a while.
Could you just pencil in Capaldi and Rosencrown?
That'd be really fun to see them kind of, and then of course it would give me another excuse to go back to the parks and take reference pictures. So
yeah. Oh, actually, you know, there's also, what is it, they have like the regular red boxes in the UK pavilion.
Yes.
As well, actually, that would be, there's, oh yeah, there's a lot to play with.
There's a lot to play with. That's a whole nother series. And then I've always wanted, I did one illustration of this little girl dressed in a Cinderella dress. And it's like the pink dress that she wears before it gets ripped.
Okay.
And she's meeting an actual, like, it's inspired by all the little kids that get to meet the characters in the park. So there's an adult Cinderella in the blue dress, and they're meeting. It's a cute, really cute illustration. I've always wanted to do a whole series of those too. I don't have time. Like, not sleep. Or something.
Yeah, you just booked yourself out for like the next couple of years, actually.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping to work on a Kickstarter for a coloring book, and that got pushed back a couple months because of the Hank Green card game, and now I'm wondering if I should do more of a Patreon kind of thing as opposed to a Kickstarter. So, yeah, I'm kind of
Oh, yeah. You know, I got to say, I know the Patreon thing has been working pretty well for people. I mean, Kickstarter does work well, but Patreon seems a little more steady, I guess, is a word to use.
Well, I was just thinking with the Kickstarter, I would have to produce, you know, 30 illustrations and before anyone would be able to get it. But if I did a Patreon and did, you know, every 2 weeks, I put out digitally one or two coloring pages, that might work better. It'd be an easier way to pace myself and people would be able to get it quicker as opposed to waiting for me to finish a whole coloring book.
Yeah, no, but I think that's actually a really good strategy, actually, for especially for what you're speaking to.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. And adult coloring, people love to color right now. It's really fun and relaxing.
Yeah.
And I like to do line work. Line work is my favorite part of the process. So first I got to finish the wizard school thing.
Yeah, do the wizard school thing first, and then, then you can emerge in February and see sunlight. Actually, well, towards Disney, I mean, okay, you know, you've spoken a lot about it. How frequent do you actually get to go and visit the parks and all that?
I'm going to be there a week from Wednesday. Is that right? Yeah. I'm going on the 18th. Right now I'm pretty lucky. Ever since I was a kid, I used to be able to go every couple of years. And then there was a dry spell of, you know, from college where, you know, I couldn't afford it in like my 20s and 30s. And then I started being able to go every couple of years. Now that I've been doing all these conventions and I've been traveling a lot, anytime in California or Florida, I go to Disneyland or Disney World. And this one that's coming up, MegaCon decided to have a mini convention on the 21st and 22nd. And I talked my boyfriend, who's an artist, into going. I was like, you know, he lives in California, so we don't get to see each other very much. I was like, you know, if we go to this convention and sell stuff for 2 days, it would kind of pay for a Disney trip, and you've never been. He's like, all right. Yeah. I didn't really have to twist his arm very much, so... That'll be the second time at Walt Disney World this year, and I went to Disneyland once already.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm kind of living my dream right now because I love the parks. So it's kind of a really nice perk to all the travel is getting to go a lot.
That's we'll actually be down there in 3 weeks, so we're gonna miss you. But
you're going at the very busy time.
Well, traditionally the first week of December isn't bad, but I don't think there is no longer a slow season.
Yeah, I'm curious because I've never gone. I've gone in January. I've gone in the summer, which is ridiculous. I've gone in October and September. This one, it'll be the 2 days the week before Thanksgiving and 1 day the week of Thanksgiving. And I'm curious to see what the crowds are going to be like.
Well, I remember, Mel, we were there. The week we were there before Christmas, like we arrived, say, on like the 15th or something like that.
Yeah.
And when that week turned to like the week of Christmas, we were only there for 1 or 2 days, but it went from mildly busy to madhouse.
Yeah.
It was insane. It was like, oh, wow. All right. This is why we're not here on Christmas.
Yeah. And I think I read like the crowd. I want to say it was on touring plans or something, where they rated the busiest weeks. And before Thanksgiving, where I have 2 days, it's like, I don't know, I want to say it was like in the 40s.
Okay. 50,
like one being the busiest. So it was way down the list as being, and then the very next week it was like four.
Ouch. The
busiest week.
Yeah.
But it'll still be fun.
Also, in my opinion, the whole Magic Band thing with booking your rides in advance, it takes a lot of the stress off of, you know, dealing with crowds. You know, we don't have to worry about getting to X because it's already taken care of. We can get to the parks when we want to. You know, I don't know. That's how we've dealt with it. Actually, have you messed around a lot with the Magic Bands?
I haven't too much. A little bit. When I went with my kids, we planned them out a little bit more. Last time I was there, I was, I was so lucky. This wonderful, wonderful fan came up to me at MegaCon who loved my work and wore a lot of my t-shirts, and they worked in the parks, and they handed me a stack of fast passes.
Oh, okay.
And I just, so for that particular trip, I wish I could give that person a hug now because it really made such a huge difference. It was crazy. So I haven't done a lot this time, and I tend to, I mean, I love doing the rides and the attractions and everything, but I love just taking in the atmosphere too. So we tend to get there right when it opens. We do some of the bigger ones, and then we kind of just enjoy the rest of the day and do what we can. But I'm really excited because I'm going to do art drops, and I've never done them in Disney World before, where I'll hide sketch cards around the park for people to find.
What?
So I did this in Disneyland in, when did I go? I went to, oh, I've been to Disneyland twice this year. I forgot. I went in July after San Diego Comic Con.
Humble brag.
I know. It's so bad. I can't believe this is my life sometimes. I can't believe I just forgot that I had Disneyland. That's insane.
Tell us more about this. I'm just going to leave art around Disney for people to find thing.
Brandon and I went for a day or two after San Diego Comic Con, and we each did sketch cards. And so I would take a picture of the sketch card and take a picture of a store or place and hide the sketch card under something, like under a few t-shirts at, I think the first one was at the Little Mermaid store in California Adventure, and then post it on Instagram and Facebook and see who could go and find it first.
That is fantastic.
So fun, because the first one we left it there, we walked away, and I'm like, we'll come back and check and see if in an hour it's gone, and it was gone. So the next one, Brandon was like, I want to stay and watch. We need to find a place and like hide out and watch. And it was within 10 minutes, somebody came running up and got so excited when they found it. And so we did that all day. It was really, really fun.
So I want to reiterate, we'll be there from the 1st to the 7th. And if you want to just swing on by.
19th and 20th and the 23rd, we will be in the parks. And I'm not sure how it'll go in Disney World, because Disney World is so much bigger. So
it's so huge.
Yeah, we'll see how quickly they go. But
fun.
I used to do meet and greets. I would say, if you want to come meet me, I'll be at the Cinderella Fountain. Which was fun, but I think the art drops are more fun.
No, that's cool. People love scavenger hunting stuff, especially because they're getting such a unique item.
Yeah, I'm going to try and have these ones be very specific to Walt Disney World, too, if I can. I didn't do that in Disneyland, but this time I might do, like, the Hatbox Ghost.
Man, I immediately regret going in December. All right, well, we're going to be... Actually, well, our plan is we are going to be moving down there next May, June, or July.
Oh, nice.
So we'll be around for hopefully the next drop.
Well, I think the next time I think it's going to be MegaCon is Memorial Day weekend. So
oh, okay.
I think be there then, I think.
Yeah, we actually might be around there. Yeah, that's the idea. Yep. That is
they're
the plan.
So they're so fun to do, and yeah, I just love it. I love it.
How many cons do you hit a year? I mean, is it a big con schedule for you?
Right now it's somewhere between 8 and 10. I would like to add a few more. My sister always gets a little stressed out when I say that, because they're it would be nice if cons, you know, you could do one every month, but they tend to all bunch together. And
yeah.
So last April, I think it was, I did MegaCon. And so I did MegaCon, and then I did like a few days in Disney, and then I flew right to California and did Star Wars Celebration, and then did 2 days in Disneyland, came home for a day, and then flew to Chicago and did C2E2. So that's kind of crazy. I don't like to do that, but that's what happens, is they all tend to bunch together like that.
And those are not small cons. Those are big cons you just listed.
Yeah, I can't afford to do smaller ones.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I have to fly my sister out there to help me too, and we have to fly all the supplies and everything. So we've done Denver, excuse me, Phoenix, San Diego, MegaCon, C2E2, New York, Boston. Boston's a little smaller, but it's in my backyard. So
yeah, I was going to say, you're right there.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm forgetting one. We've done Salt Lake City. Oh, Seattle.
The Emerald City one?
I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go to that one, actually.
My friend just got her passes for that.
Oh, yeah.
For next year, yeah.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. It's a really, really good one.
I like the way they did the Artist Alley this year at New York Comic Con. That was the first time I'd seen it like that, in its own separate room and all that. I thought it flowed so much better.
I love New York. New York, that was the third one, and that space is so good. It's so open, and
yeah.
The They do a really good job. I'm always really happy when I get it because I got waitlisted for the first 2 years for that one. So I always am happy when I get into that one.
Yeah, that was in my experience, that was the most enjoyable artist alley that we've had so far at New York Comic Con. Just easy to find folks. It was wide enough. They were what, like four rows, but it didn't feel squashed
Yeah,
at any particular corner. I don't know. It just so much better access to everybody.
and you would think having it separate from the rest of the con would make it, because sometimes they do that, and then you end up with no traffic in Artist Alley. But it's its own destination, and I think it's great. They do it. Mike Negrin runs that, and he does a really great job. He's really nice. He does C2E2, and I think now they're starting to do Emerald City too.
Yeah, that just became another Reed Pop one.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a Reed Pop. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hopefully they figure out their wristband things because, wow. Refer back to the old an older episode on what happened with that.
Right.
Yeah, they had a big mix up with the wristbands for the Marvel event, but
Ooh.
it got straightened out in a sense.
I
In a
think
sense.
Mike takes care of like the artists, but I don't
That's
know.
cool. That's really
Yeah, I
cool.
just know him because he does Artist Alley stuff.
So, I mean, coming up for you, you've got the whole Wizarding High. Oh, you know what? Can you? What is a little more detail on that? The Wizarding High School thing,
Wizarding
because.
High School. Hank is hard to explain. He is a big goofball. I love him, but he's very into all sorts of pop culture. The company that he and his brother started is DFTBA, which is Don't Forget to Be Awesome. It's a really great organization, but he loves pop culture stuff, and he loves Harry Potter and things. So this is not supposed to be Hogwarts, but it's supposed to be kind of an updated card game that takes place in America in a kind of regular school that just happens to be wizardy. And there's
Okay.
tons of pop culture references in there, and there's tons of Hank Green goofiness in there. So I don't understand the card play as much because I haven't played it, and they've explained it to me, but I'm kind of a person that I need to play a game before I understand it.
Yeah, I'm like that too. You can read the instructions to me for 6 days and I'll just look at you blankly.
Until I play it, I don't understand it. I know that it is very cooperative. Everybody loses or everybody wins, kind
Oh,
of thing.
good. That'll save the arguments in the house.
Yeah, which is cool.
No, it is. It's good. I like those games more.
But we've tried to incorporate ways that each individual player can have goals too.
Okay.
And there's lots of fun magic spells and monsters that roam the halls and all sorts of stuff. And so Hank comes up with this crazy stuff, and then I have to illustrate it, which sometimes we'll be brainstorming some of the spells, and he'll say something. I'm like, you know that I have to draw that, right? He's like, you'll be fine. It'll be great. So, like, one of the ones that was giving me a really hard time was Laminator, and it's a spell that laminates anything. I was like, how do you draw
How do
that?
you show lamination? Yeah,
I want it to be funny. I want it to be fun, not just, boring. And my sister saved me on that one. And she was like, why don't you show it laminating something that shouldn't be laminated, like a cat? And I was like, oh, that's good.
that's a
So,
good idea.
that'll work. Yeah. So, actually, how excited are you? Since you do so much Star Wars stuff, I gotta kind of ask you, how excited are you for December?
Oh my God, I'm dying. I'm dying every
There.
time. But see, I don't want to see anything else anymore. Every time a new preview comes out. So,
I try, but I can't
I know,
help it.
I can't either. It's
It's like
horrible.
staring at the sun. I'm like, I'm not going to look at this. Hit play.
Oh, it's so bad. I met my boyfriend Brandon at Star Wars Celebration. He was the artist next to me. And so we're both huge Star Wars geeks, nerds, fans, everything. And he was here when he came to visit me when the Star Wars preview dropped, the one that was during the football game.
Yeah, we're
We don't watch football, but we're in there just with it on mute, just waiting, being like, come on, come on, come on. Yeah, we're pretty excited. He's flying out here again in December so that we can see it on, we have tickets for Thursday.
Yeah, well, I'll be going on Thursday, and then me and Melissa will be going Friday night to the Alamo in Yonkers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to, which for us is no joke. It's like an hour and a half drive. But it's the right, it's the right place to go. You know, it's just, this is what's going on. And, you know, we now we're waiting for that Star Wars land, which granted, unfortunately, it is going to be like 2020. God,
I know. Did you hear that there are no more Star Wars weekends?
There aren't, because there, you know, why weekend when you have a year?
I know.
I think the whole thing is, it's really just a term word. Star Wars weekends is going to be gone, because there's no point in saying, hey, we have Star Wars weekends in Star Wars land.
In Star Wars land.
So, you know, the terminology of like Star Wars celebration, you know, something obviously that's already used, but something more akin to that is going to, I think, will be implemented eventually to then fill that. Hey, this is the weeks. This is the time when we're going to have guests. We're going to have exclusive merchandise during this time of year. I'm sure that's still going to happen, but they're going to come up with a different name.
Yeah. I had tickets to go this spring, and I had already been traveling too much, so I decided not to, and now I'm kicking myself because I had never been.
It was good. Sorry. Yeah, it was good. It was fun. But what, you know, I'm sure that once Star Wars Land opens and I put out my hands and I'm like, let's compare.
Yeah, there's plenty of Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm gonna forget all about weekends and I'm just gonna be like, good Lord.
So I really want to I don't know if I'll be able to this trip, but get to the Indiana Jones bar that opened in
Jack Lindsay's.
Yes. Is it Disney Springs? Is it called now? Not downtown. Yeah. I still call Hollywood Studios MGM. I can't not do that. So
yeah, they're going to change that name too. So don't worry about it.
Oh yeah. It's always going to be MGM to me with the little mouse-eared Eiffel Tower.
So yeah, Melissa, you were saying, what is it called? It's Jack Lindsay's, right?
Yeah. It's the hangar.
Yeah.
Bar.
Yeah.
Do that. And I want to get into Trader Sam's. I've done that in Disneyland, but
it's fun. I mean, absolutely go during the week.
Yeah, I was thinking we have reservations for Kona on the 18th. We both fly in and get in like around 3 p.m. So we're going to eat at Kona on that Wednesday night. And then I was thinking maybe we would try to go down there and see if we could get in. But
yeah, no, you got the perfect plan. That's exactly the way to do it.
Nice.
That's exactly the way to do it. They were actually sold out of the Nautilus cups when we were there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were sold. I don't even drink alcohol. And I was like, look, I'm going to buy a $50 drink.
So I can get that.
Just so I can get the cup. If they were all sold out. So I'm hoping I'm able to get one in December.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it a few times in Disneyland. And it's great. I love it. I remember taking Brandon to it because he had never done it. He's like, what's this? I'm like, you have to just go. It's a thing. You have to go and sit in there. But I'm really excited to do the one in Disney World.
Yeah, it's really nice. We got to actually sit outside at night there, and they have a really nice little area with a waterfall, and there was a man playing the ukulele. It was like so perfect.
Polynesian is my favorite. I don't get to stay there very much because it's so expensive, but it's definitely my favorite.
Your lava piece that I just saw today.
Oh, lava. I had to do that. I came home and I just did that. I had to. It was such a beautiful little short.
Yeah, that one worked for me immensely. That I bought that song as I would, like, we left the movie and I was like, oh, I got to see if it's on iTunes. And there it was. It was right on iTunes. I was like, thank God. Good work. Good work, marketing.
Yeah, I have that song too. I've listened to it so much. It was such a beautiful little animated short. I love some of their Paper Man. Oh, God.
Yeah, we were just watching, they have a, on Netflix, the Disney animated shorts collection, Volume 1. Not the Pixar ones, but they also have collections of those. But specifically on Netflix, they have the animated shorts, Volume 1 or Collection Number 1, available now. And Paper Man is up on there.
Oh.
And that's another one. That song immediately went home, and I was like, gotta find it.
I listen to that all the time. It's beautiful.
And I want to say, is that Michael Giacchino? I don't remember.
No.
I don't remember. But so anyway, sorry, I got into thinking of lava because that was another one. Now, is that something you actually want to do a little bit more of? Because lava, the one that you did of that, it's just lava.
Yeah, I would love, I mean, a huge goal of mine is to just, it's to have my art in the parks, like to do, to straight up do just Disney work and get it in the parks and be a Disney or a Star Wars artist. So that's definitely what I'm working towards. And having things like that in my portfolio is good. I love doing the mashups and the parodies and all that stuff too, because I love doing things different and telling new stories and doing fun things that people haven't thought about. But yeah, I would love to, like, Wonderground in Disneyland. That I love seems... that, because they do a lot of, they let the artists have a lot of leeway in doing Disney, but doing it in their own style. And that's, I really love seeing characters that I've seen a million times, but reimagined in an artist's style. So
yeah, I think Wonderground has kind of breathed a brand new life into the art scene of Disney, because we collect a lot of art. Me and Melissa, you know, when we go to the parks, we usually leave with something. Mm-hmm. But the Wonderland Gallery has been really just like a whole new window where I kind of, you know, I felt like you. Oh, this is so much more available. And you know what? I'm not going to find a lot of Mulan stuff in the regular art gallery. But I am going to find, I'm more than likely going to find one or two or three pieces about Mulan in Wonderground. So we've really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and so
that's on my bucket list.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I always like looking for things like Sleeping Beauty in blue. Like, that's always my...
Why do they put her in pink?
I don't know.
There's a crazy reason. There is a reason because, and I know Melissa, I know, you know, because Cinderella is blue.
Yeah. I think I've heard that too. And they want to keep it, you know, but then again, Ariel's in pink because of her dress.
Yeah.
Actually, no, is Ariel in blue now, or maybe like turquoise?
They put her in the turquoise. Yeah.
It's on my idea board, is to do a really gorgeous illustration of Sleeping Beauty and have the dress be both, have it mid transition.
That would be pretty.
I think that would be really fun. Every once in a while I'll do a marker sketch like that, but I would love to do a big full out illustration of that. But I am definitely a put her in blue person.
Also, yeah, the blue, I don't know. I think the blue just fits her so much better. The pink, it's just like almost too pink. You know, it's not as soft.
Yeah, it's too much. It just seems like too much to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, because unfortunately, that's why I didn't like the Thomas Kinkade one of her. It's just like pink. I don't know.
That's a hard pink. That's a hard pink in that part. Actually, Karen, that's going towards something. I mean, for most of the stuff that I have seen of yours, it's a smaller size media. Are you looking to expand on the size of your pieces?
I mean, most of my digital stuff, I work huge.
Oh, okay.
Huge. It's the marker sketches are little. The marker sketches started off as a way for me to just keep in practice with traditional media and using markers and practice just my sketching and my drawing. But people love to buy them so much that I can't, like, I list them on Etsy and they're gone in like 10 seconds. It's crazy.
I was literally just about to say that. Yeah, I'm going to put up a link to your Etsy page, because there's some incredible stuff. And the original paintings, I'm really in love with the Iron Woman.
Oh, yeah, one. That was before I started doing pop culture. I always wanted to go back and do more of that, too. The digital, when I work digital, I work huge. Like, there, you could go and probably buy poster size. My sister runs my Etsy store. She doesn't keep the bigger ones in stock, but we can always, like, special order.
That's good to know.
Yeah, because I think she had someone special order. I don't know if you ever saw the Star Wars Haunted Mansion ones.
Yeah.
Yes.
She had somebody order all four of those, like, huge poster size so that they could put them up in their hallway, I think.
That's a smart person.
Yeah, right, they're really, really cool.
Yeah.
Actually, if you don't mind me asking specifically about it's Iron Woman 8. You have this on wood panel?
Yeah, so up until 2010, I didn't work digitally at all. I did all sorts of different mediums, including tea at one point. But those ones, it's a wood panel, and then I took pages of a book.
Yeah.
Pasted them on there, and then did ink and acrylic washes on them. Because I used to do a couple of local shows around here where I would sell my work and things like that.
This is stunning. I really love this. I don't know. I guess I'm attracted to this kind of look. I remember I'm a big fan of Janet Leigh, who did Return of the Dapper Men. And that also was done all on wood, and the art in Alan Moore's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
It's, oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's not done on wood, but it has that wood-carved feel to it, you know, when you're flipping through. So, yeah. I don't know, there's something about it that just really catches my eye.
I think there was I spent years and years trying to figure out what would work best with my style, and I used to paint a lot, but I think it wasn't until I started using the paint very thinly and letting the paper show through. And then when I started painting on wood panels and letting the wood or whatever was underneath show through, it was really good for me. And then I spent maybe like 6 months or a year going to the beach and getting driftwood and painting mermaids on driftwood and doing kind of the same thing where the wood would show through. That was really fun.
Very. Actually, I would love, I don't know, now I'm thinking of like all the stuff from Spirited Away you could do with something like that.
I know. I feel bad because sometimes people ask me for the originals and I don't have any. But that would be another thing I would love to do, is to just spend like 6 months and just do wood panel paintings of all sorts of characters, whether they be pop culture characters or my own characters or steampunk. I don't have time.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It'll come.
Maybe you'll find the time eventually. Not in a little while, but who knows? Maybe you'll find the time for that. Karen, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show. I don't want to keep you much longer. For anyone who's listening, you know, Karen was sweet enough to come on here at 10 o'clock at night. Because she's
really sorry about that.
No, are you kidding me? We don't go to sleep till midnight anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's works all the time. She's a working mother. And I just really, really thank you so much. When we met you at Con, me and Melissa were like, that's great. They'll probably never get back to us because, like, who are we? You know, like, why would they?
Oh.
So we hugely appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule. We are fans first, and I'm going to link up to your DeviantArt and your Etsy page, and I'm going to find a link for that game that you're working on, and I'll throw something up on there as well.
Very much.
Because I want everyone to take a look at that, and
it's going to pretty much be consuming me for the next couple of months, but in a good way.
In a good way. And you know what? For all the people out there who are listening, if you're young or whatever, what's really important was said very early in this, and that is, if you look at Karen's work, she's insanely talented, and she still had to work way beyond just going to school and being hit with, you know, stuff that didn't work out occasionally.
Yeah.
And still kept punching, and that's how she got it. So
stubborn.
Yeah. Be stubborn as hell. Never give up.
Yep.
And anyone who tells you they can't do it, push them out of the way and then look at them on the way down.
Yep. Absolutely. So, there's a quote from A League of Their Own that I have on my wall. It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
Absolutely.
Did you ever see that movie with Tina Day? Ugh.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the baseball film?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely applies to, if you want to do it, it's going to be hard. You just have to be stubborn about it.
So once again, I want to say thank you so much for coming on our show.
You're welcome.
And
yes, thank you, Karen. It's been a really big, you know.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you guys.
Thank you so much. I hope we get to do this once again. And actually, I would really love to try to talk to you once that game comes quicker and we can talk about, you know, just what the hell it all is.
Yeah, maybe spring. And then maybe I'll see you guys in Disney World in the spring.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll definitely see you eventually down at the parks. Or you may not see us. You'll see us from a distance as we're searching for
the cards.
Yeah, you know, we'll be searching for the cards. And then I'll look around and I'll try to see if you guys are spying on us.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on the show. And guys, just follow all the links in the show page and you'll find all that you need for Karen's work. And then pick up some stuff, because coming from a consumer, it's really, really nice.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Take care, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Karen. Okay, guys and gals, I hope you really enjoyed that. We had a lot of fun doing that. We hope to have Karen on the show later in the future after her schedule slows down a little bit, even though I don't think it'll ever slow down, because if you just look at her art, you understand why she's not going to get slow in her schedule anytime soon. But hopefully we'll be able to work something out with her down the line. If you head on over to the show notes, I have her links to her Twitter, her Etsy, her Instagram, her DeviantArt, and of course, huge emphasis on that Instagram. That's Karen Hallion, H-A-L-L-I-O-N art. Because if she's ever in the parks and she does those little mystery drops, you're going to want to be following her. I also added a link for the Tumblr site for that Wizard School card game that she is going to be doing the art for. And that is off the DFTBA. Don't forget to be awesome. So follow all of that. Deal? Deal. All right. What about us? Follow us on our Twitter at Magic. Don't follow that. That's wrong. At Diz Magic Hour Pod. I'm not redoing it. No. You have any idea how many times I've tried doing this intro without stumbling over words? I've given up. So find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. If you head on over to Facebook, do a search for Disney Magic Hour, and our little group page will pop up there. And as always, I want to thank Pogo for doing the music. This week's song was The Trouble, which we've definitely used before, but I thought it was perfect because it had a number of the different Disney princesses, in particular ones that Karen has done art for with that Doctor Who mashup stuff. So you can find him on youtube.com/Pogo, on soundcloud.com/PogoMix, and over at PogoMix.net. We are LastGenPodcast.com. You heard all the other links before. I'll say it again. So, hey, guys, you have a good weekend. We'll be back next week with Bambi for our next Disney Movie Hour entry. And there will be crying, I'm assuming. I hope so. I know Brian's going to cry. That's a given. I don't know if anyone else is, but I can tell you right now, Brian's going to cry. All right, guys, you have a good week. See you later. Bye.